I want to open with a question today. Who here makes mistakes? Anyone? You know what? We all make them, don't we? Every one of us here has made mistakes. Every one of us here has sinned, has said and done things that we have regretted. That is just part of being a person. Matter of fact, it is unbelievable how prone I am to say things that can hurt people. You know, even with my family at home. And it's funny, when you're talking to the people that you are the closest to, that you love the most, and they, you ever notice how they can just push the right buttons? And all of a sudden, something, at least with me, is coming out of my mouth. And it's like you hear yourself saying it, and at the same time, your brain is going, oh, why did you say that? And I look back on my life with things I've said to Ruthie and to the girls, to my father, to my late mother, and I regret it. You know, one of my biggest regrets was, now I'll try to get through this story without crying a little bit, but it was with my mom. As you all know, mom died of lung cancer, or cancer in her chest cavity. I never heard an actual name for the type of cancer she had. And so at first, when she went into the hospital, it was a very fast time. It was 2 weeks from diagnosis to death. And she went into the hospital, and they put a tube into her chest because the type of cancer she had was called a wet cancer, and so the cells would produce a liquid, and they would fill her chest cavity with that liquid. And so they put in this chest tube, and they wanted her to get up. And so I went with Ruthie, and we weren't married at this point. We were engaged. And mom was there in her hospital bed, and before we walked in, I stopped by the nurse and said, hey, I'm her son. How's she doing? I said, well, she refused to get out of bed today and get up and walk because she said it hurt too much. So I went in there and I prodded my mother to get out of bed. And she was crying. And kept saying, why are you being so mean to me? And all I wanted to do was do what the doctors. And at that time, I mean, obviously I knew she had cancer, I knew she wasn't doing well, but I didn't know she was going to die that quickly. Maybe I should have, maybe if it had been someone else other than my mother, I would have put two and two together. But I didn't know. And to this day, I can still hear those as some of my mother's last words to me. Why are you being so mean to me? And for everything in me, I wish I could take back having made her get out of bed. I didn't do it out of ill will. I was trying to do what was best for her, but I still struggle with that. And I can, at times, if I allow my mind to go there, which I try not to, can replay that in my mind over 11 years later and focus on it and get stuck on it. I don't think I actually did anything wrong, but I can still do that. I have trouble getting past it. Have you ever had trouble moving on from something, whether it was a sin or just something you wish hadn't happened because you didn't know all the details to a situation? Have you ever just gotten stuck on something in the past? And for whatever reason, you can't forgive yourself for it. I struggle with that. But the truth of the matter is, and obviously I say this as a person working on it alongside of you, not as an expert who's already done it, we can't get stuck in the past. If we allow ourselves to be stuck in the past, if we can't get past something that we have done, something that has happened to us, then we can't, as an individual or as a group of people, move into God's preferable future for us, because we don't have the capacity to do that while still being back here. And a lot of this comes down to our inability to accept that we've been forgiven. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." Now, what it doesn't say is God will only forgive us for some sins, or that God will forgive us some of the time for our sins, or that God might forgive us of our sins. What it says is if we confess, God will forgive us our sins. But at least my problem is that, yeah, I can acknowledge that God has forgiven me of my sins, but the issue is sometimes I can't forgive me for my sins. And so we need to take that step in faith from the point of that theoretical thing of God forgiving us of our sins, to the point where we believe it and take that next step where not only can we accept that God has forgiven us for our sins, but we can forgive us for our own sins. The hardest person for me to forgive for doing wrong is me. I can forgive Ruthie. I can forgive the kids. I can forgive people in churches. The hardest person for me to forgive is me. Now, maybe that just says I need therapy, but which may be the case, I don't know. But but I don't think I'm that different from everyone else. You know? I'm going to guess that most of you, the person you have the hardest time forgiving is you. But what I would say is if God can forgive you, then shouldn't you be able to forgive you too? If you confess your sins, God's going to forgive you. So shouldn't each of us, if we are in Jesus, which is what we're supposed to be as followers of Jesus, if we can be forgiven, then we should be able to forgive ourselves. So I want you to remember this point. No matter what your past is, no matter what you may have done, forgiveness is available to you in Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. No matter what your past is, no matter what you may have done, forgiveness is available to you in Jesus Christ. You've been forgiven. If you confess your sins, you know, and it's not like you have to go through and make sure you list every single sin to get forgiven. If you just confess your sins, God is going to forgive you. And if God can forgive you, then you can certainly Forgive yourself. If God can say, you know what, you've done wrong, okay. But now, in Jesus Christ, I have cleansed those sins from you. I have purified them from you. Then can't you? You have been forgiven. So one, you have received mercy. Isaiah 55:7. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and He will have mercy on them. And to our God, He will freely pardon. We're getting into legal language there, aren't we? God has mercy on us. It doesn't mean that we haven't done wrong. It means that He is not punishing us in the way that we deserve. It tells us in the Bible that the wages of sin is death. In other words, if you sin, you die. But the God of the Bible has taken away that punishment. That's mercy. It's not giving the punishment to a person which they deserve. God has shown us mercy. Now, if God can show us mercy, if God can say, you know what, you've done wrong, this is what the punishment is supposed to be for what you have done, but I'm not going to punish you, then can't we stop punishing ourselves? I mean, if God is going to, using a legal term, commute our sentence, right? Can't we let ourselves off the hook? Can't we move past the sin or the mistake? Can't we acknowledge our own human frailty and say, you know what, if God can still love me, I can love me too? God has shown us mercy. Second, God is not angry with you. Micah 7:18-19. Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgressions of the remnant of His inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all of our iniquities into the depths of the sea. I believe it was the famous preacher Jonathan Edwards who wrote the sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And perhaps Jonathan was a better preacher than I ever was, although they preached a lot longer than we do today back then. But I think he got it wrong. We're sinners in the hands of a forgiving God. Look, God is not a God who remains angry at you. God is a God who forgives. God is a God of mercy and of justice and of love and of compassion. And yes, if we stay in our sin, there is a price to that, but that's not an inability of God to get over His anger. It's our own unwillingness to repent. God's not angry with you. You confess your sins, you're forgiven, God moves on. So can you. Let yourself off the hook. If God is no longer angry with you, then why should you be angry at yourself? And you might wonder, how can God forgive you? How many of you are parents? Do you stay angry with your children? My daughters can push my buttons in such a way that I get angry with them and I yell at them. But as quickly as I can get angry, I get over it. I forgive them. Why? Because they're my child. And I love them. You know what? And I'm an imperfect person. And God is a perfect and holy God and a much better parent than I could ever be. So if I can forgive my children, and I'm going to assume that you can forgive your children, and all of us are broken, fallen sinners, then how much more so can God forgive us? God's not angry with you. Third, you have been forgiven, so you should now forgive others. Luke 6:37, do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. And so the other side to this whole forgiveness thing is that as we embrace God's forgiveness for us, we now need to begin to forgive others. And as much as I can sit there and dwell on the things I've done wrong to others, you better believe I can sit there and chew on what others have done to me. But that's not how it should be. Forgive as you have been forgiven. If God can forgive us, we can forgive others. Now, God doesn't call us as a part of that forgiveness to be around abusive people. He doesn't call us to stay in abusive relationships. He doesn't ask us to trust people who have wronged us time after time. He just asks us to forgive. Forgiveness isn't about being around them anymore. It is just not holding it against them. Forgiveness is as much about you as it is about them. Forgiving someone allows you to move on. It allows you to go forward in your life. Anger holds you back. Forgive as you have been forgiven. The truth is that we can't change our past, but we can choose to follow God into His preferable future. Look, we can't change the past for each of you individually. We can't change the past of this church. But what we can do is, as a body, we can decide to move into God's preferable future, both for ourselves individually and for our church. But the first thing we need to do in order to move in that direction, whether as individuals or as a corporate entity, is to accept God's forgiveness and to forgive one another. And so, in order to have our best year yet, we need to learn to forgive and to accept the forgiveness that has been given to us in Jesus Christ. And so the goal this year, or this week I should say, forgive others as you have been forgiven. And as you hear that statement, to do it, you have to both forgive others but also accept the fact that you have been forgiven yourself. Forgive others as you have been forgiven. Would you pray with me? Excuse me. God, forgiveness is one of the most difficult things that we can do, both to accept that we have been forgiven by you and to forgive others. Help us, God. that we would accept your forgiveness and show the same to others. Amen. So at this time,